for listening to this week's edition of What's Happening at the Library. If you follow the library's programs, you'll know that we offer author events all the time. But this summer, we've got a very unique author event in that I think it might be the furthest distance an author has traveled to join us at the County of Prince Edward Public Library. She's here today, joining us from her home in Belgium, to tell us a little bit about the author event and her book. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Liz.
So it's Jeannie Keo, and tell us a little bit about, I guess, yourself, start with.
Well, I'm Canadian. I live in Belgium, have done for 14 years. I just got my Belgian citizenship this week, so I'm, I guess, a dual national now, and I live in a little tiny town called Schepenoeuvel, which is in the Flemish Brabant region of Belgium, about 40 minutes from Brussels, close to the Dutch border and the Luxembourg border. I work as a LinkedIn copywriter by day and a fiction writer and single mom by night. So that keeps me pretty busy.
No kidding. So what will bring you to Prince Edward County this summer?
Well, my family is based in Carrying Place, and I get one opportunity to come home per year for 4 weeks. So I try to squeeze everything out of every single moment. There's actually a moment I fly into the country and I see a Canadian flag for the first time, and I can't speak for a couple of minutes because I really get emotional about coming home. And so that's what brings me home.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you thought of the library. So this is, you'll be here to talk about your debut collection, which is called Press 9 for Pig Latin. So will you tell us a little bit about that work?
It's a collection of 11 short stories that I wrote over 10 years of my career. Some of them were written in under 3 weeks, and some of them took years to perfect. And they were all published in, or most of them were published in, Canadian literary magazines at one point. The collection is a tragicomedy, so each piece is, it delves into really heavy topics, suicide, death, alcoholism, drug addiction, post-traumatic stress disorder, heartbreak, all kinds of things, involuntary manslaughter, and abortion. And I think what the through line of the book is that it is telling stories of snippets of people's lives that are excruciatingly painful and raw, and how they manage to just kind of get through the day. So it's not told over a great long period. It's sort of a snapshot of what's going on in that person's life and how they manage to put one foot in front of the other. And I tend to do that in a lighthearted way. So one sentence might make you cry and the other one will make you laugh out loud.
And that is not an easy balance to strike. So I think that's admirable. Did you set out to write them as a collection, or were they individual pieces that you've just collected later?
They were individual pieces that I collected later and felt that they each complemented each other in different ways.
That makes sense. And I guess if you write along the same themes, they might go together anyway, even if it wasn't your original intention.
Yeah.
So this is your first published work, right? First,
yes.
Published collection. But you've written for other places as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about other places that you've written and work that you've done in that way?
Well, I was a journalist before, sort of, I guess, concurrently while I was fiction writing. I wrote a play called Baby Making, which was produced in Montreal as well in Toronto at the Stratford, sorry, not the Stratford Festival. It was produced at the Harbourfront Centre, but with the sponsorship of the Stratford Festival as part of the Summerworks Theatre Festival a number of years ago. And so I started in theatre, and then I moved into more journalistic work to sort of pay the bills, I guess. And I was doing treatment writing for a film company, a production company out in Vancouver, well, actually White Rock, and they produce films for the History Channel and the Discovery Channel, so I was writing for them for a while. And then I pitched some stories to Elle Canada and Parents Canada when I was a new stepmom in a foreign country and trying to be a stepmother in a foreign language. And I also was a travel writer for a Brussels travel and lifestyle magazine. for expats. So I was sent on different travel junkets to Sweden, to Madeira, to Poland, to Tunisia, and to various different places, mostly across Europe and North Africa. And so that really opened my eyes into what different cultures are like and really ripe for storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great way, if you've just moved somewhere, to dig into not only where you are, but the surrounding area to do travel writing. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So what draws you to write fiction?
I think because sometimes when you try to write nonfiction, the story or the format doesn't really lend itself to what you really want to say and what you really have permission to say under the umbrella of it's not true. And I think that in a world of increasing censorship and decreasing democracy, I would say, and also polarization, I think it's important to be able to tell stories that allow people to have a glimpse into a perspective they might not take. And fiction is a really wonderful conduit for that, because you're reading a story through a character. So you don't have to align with their political views or not. You know what I mean? And so you can kind of just get a little insight, and then it just flips the script a little bit. And over a couple of pages, you can go, oh, wow, I didn't really think of it that way. Or I didn't really consider involuntary manslaughter in that light. And I actually feel sorry for this person who killed someone else. So that's what I attempt to do in fiction, which is a much harder thing to do in a nonfiction format.
Well, and isn't that the magic of fiction? Sometimes you can get a glimpse through someone else's eyes. Maybe that's a bit of a cliche, but it's true. You can see things from their perspective and hopefully broaden your own in the process. So will you tell us a little bit about the format of the event that you're planning here at the library and what people can expect?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I love Picton. I just have to say it's such a cute little place. Prince Edward County is really a gem, and Picton especially. So I am looking forward to just seeing some familiar faces and also just delight people. So make it something really worthwhile coming to. And when people arrive, they can pick a line out of a hat, and it's a line from somewhere in the book, and hopefully poignant, hopefully thought-provoking, and then a discussion will emerge after the reading about that particular line. And people can ask questions, anything they want, really. It's 20 question hour.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that although your book addresses serious and heavy topics, I don't think that's your style of presenting, and that's not the feeling that I get when I talk to you anyway.
Yeah, no, I want it to be really fun. And that's the thing, is that it's like the last event that I had, it was in Brighton, Ontario last year, and I made people laugh, and it's always such a great moment because I think, oh, that's exactly what I wanted people to feel. So the laugh is the reward, because when people feel other emotions, darkness or sadness, they tend to keep it to themselves, so you won't hear people sobbing. But it's so nice when a room full of 20 people just starts to laugh kind of unanimously, and so that's what I'm hoping to have a couple of moments of at the reading, and I want it to be fun. I want it to be an interesting night of literature.
But let's give the hard, cold facts about this event to make sure that people know when it is. Thursday, July 16th at 7 p.m. at the Picton Branch Library.
Just come with open minds and come ready to enjoy yourself and ask anything, say anything, and be anyone you want to be.
Fabulous. I love that. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for making the time to chat ahead of time.
Would you like me to read a little excerpt as a teaser?
Sure. That would be great.
Yeah. So this is from one of the pieces called Frequently Lost Items. It's a story about a mother who, or a family who loses the husband in a heart attack. He's a truck driver. They're low income, and she's goes from, you know, being a family to being a single mom overnight, and her son is about 8 years old. And so this is part of the story is told from her perspective, and then the other part of the story is told from the little boy's perspective. So it starts with the little boy's perspective. Aunt Carol bought me a fish today because we didn't go to the water park. In the pet store, she kept asking me questions about Mum, and when I didn't answer, she put on a smile that looked like it hurt her face. She told me to be a strong little man and hugged me for too long. Then she let me choose a fish for under $3. Usually it's Dad who buys me things when he comes back from his trips. I have a whole collection, a rabbit's foot keychain, a dream catcher, a canoe made of white paper from tree trunks, and a pair of slippers that Indians made. I named him Fishus because during the day he's a goldfish, but at night he's a shark. I'm learning him how to attack, so if the man in the truck comes back, I can shove his hand into the fishbowl and Fishus will bite it off. When Mom and Carol aren't looking, I stab Fishus with Shirley Temple swords. You should try it. It's fun. It's like trying to stab olives in the jar. I added the slimy flower water from Dad's funeral to Fishus' aquarium because it has magic power that gives him strength to fight. I bet Dad's having a better time in heaven than we're having here. That's because heaven has great food. Dad used to bite into his hamburger or take a sip of beer and say, "Tastes like a little piece of heaven." Then he'd wink and ruffle my hair. Tonight, I'm going on a sleepover to the cemetery. Don't tell. It's a secret.
I don't know how anybody could hear that and not want to come hear more. So we'll certainly look forward to seeing everybody Thursday, July 16th at 7 p.m. at the Picton Branch Library.
Looking forward to it.
And a big thank you to everyone who contributed to the Grapevine today. Thanks to Liz and Jeannie there. Thanks to Cheryl and, Cheryl and Lise, Renee and John. And thank you for listening to the show today. You can catch us again at the 6 p.m. repeats after the 6 p.m. news and farm reports. I have been your host, Gage Broderick, with my co-host, Brenda Little.
Hello. Goodbye.
Hello and goodbye. Bye. And we will catch you next week. Say bye, Brenda.
Bye-bye.